بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. الله بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brought us to the masjid of Allah azza wa jal to make a dhikr, mashallah, to speak about the important topics about Islam. Alhamdulillah, learning about what we need to learn about according to the way of the Quran and Sunnah, those ways which Allah azza wa jal loves. And this is the thing we have to remind ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Allah ta'ala says, today I have perfected my favor upon you, right? Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I completed upon you my blessing. Wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Allah ta'ala says, I'm pleased for you to have Islam as your religion. And so what we understand, Islam is a complete way of life. There's nothing missing from the Islamic way, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We recognize that. We have to understand that every single sphere of my life, whatever it is, whether it be business or finance, whether it be social or societal, whether it be political or personal, whatever facet or asset it is in our life, we have to consider what does Islam say about those things. And so a person should not even get involved into a career until they know, is that job permissible or not? And so this is something that's very important and pertinent when it comes to the matter of nikah, which is something, mashallah, is such a beloved action within Islam, considered an act of ibadah. And something I always wanted to discuss, mashallah, for quite some time, honestly. I feel like this conversation is long overdue. But I feel like, alhamdulillah, comes in its right place whenever Allah Ta'ala decides. So now the idea of nikah or marriage is that it is, mashallah, something which Allah Azza wa Jal had determined before this entire dunya even took place, in the sense where Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he was, mashallah, before he came into this world, he was given nikah. Meaning prior to this world, nikah was performed. Within this world, nikah is performed. And after this world, when we go to Jannah, it's another ibadah that remains with even in Jannah, subhanAllah. You can imagine what kind of fadila, what kind of virtue Allah Ta'ala gives to it. It is something which is very noble and sacred, something which is given from Allah Azza wa Jal. And something you have to consider, that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, if you're thinking from a religious perspective, obviously there are many benefits to it, a lot of virtues to it. Thinking from a natural perspective, that eventually a person will just realize at a certain age or a certain time that they don't feel like life is, really... it's not complete. There's something that is missing, something which is lacking. And automatically this feeling comes into the hearts of everyone. Eventually this feeling will come up. Or a person says, I need something a bit more. There's something else in life beyond this. And it's because of the natural way which Allah designed mankind. Allah designed mankind in a way that whoever they are, wherever they are, whoever they may be, they'll still feel incomplete until they find their spouse. This is because Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, being within Jannah, could you imagine? Being amongst the gardens of Jannah, and the rivers of Jannah, and the food and fragrances of Jannah, in that remarkable, blessed place where everyone, Allah Ta'ala says, you will be happy. Even there, he felt a bit of loneliness. He felt like I needed something. And subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala created for him Hawa alayhi salam, so that way he can live with her in happiness. This is something which is natural. From that time of Adam alayhi salam, which Allah Ta'ala made for mankind as a exemplar, as an example. And Allah Ta'ala made it that every single human being after Adam alayhi salam will experience the same feeling, that you won't feel complete until you find someone, subhanAllah. It is something that has to happen. A natural experience is going to happen. And once you find someone, you connect with them, your life is always connected to that one person and you can't seem to detach from them. I'll give you the example of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No matter how many years passed by for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khadija radiallahu anha passed away maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Such a long time she passed away. But he's still remembering her. He still remembers the good times. There's no way around that experience. Even when a person loses a spouse, could you imagine the hardship and the difficulty of losing a spouse? Even then, they won't get married to someone else just because they said, no, that feeling I had with that person was special. It's very different for me to try to find someone else, right? Many women, after they reach a certain age, they said, someone could request to get married again. But they say, I don't feel it anymore. My husband was my husband, right? I don't want to get married to anyone afterwards, right? So this idea that, subhanAllah, you have such a deep attachment to someone and that remains. From the natural perspective, it is there. And from the deeni spiritual perspective, the Prophet ﷺ said, "An-nikahu min sunnati," that the nikah is from my sunnah. The hadith of Ibn Majah continues, "Faman lam ya'mal bi sunnati falaysa minni." Whoever does not act upon my sunnah is not from me. And this is something that the Anbiya alayhi salam, being the greatest of the ibad of Allah, the greatest of the worshippers of Allah, the greatest of the slaves of Allah, Azza wa Jal, they were such people that every single one of them would get married, barring two of them. One was Isa alayhi salam, the other was Yahya alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam, when he comes back to this dunya, he'll get married. Even though he left this world, when he returns again, he will get married again. And when it comes to Yahya alayhi salam, he was the only one out of the exception. Allah made him so nek and salih and pure. Because Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam made a special dua, Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. Allah, give me a pure child. Allah made him absolutely pure. He had no inclination towards dunya whatsoever. When he was about 10 years old or so, the narration is mentioned. And when the children were playing, he used to be sitting at the side. People used to come up to him and say, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, why don't you go play with the kids?" He said, "We're not created for play." He was so special in that regard. "You guys aren't Yahya alayhi salam. Relax, okay? Everyone, mashallah, is going to have this experience and going to need it eventually." And this is something, again, we have to come to terms with. And so there are many perspectives. Obviously, the talk is talking about getting to married in the right way. And there's so much that has to be done after the marriage, learning about things. There's so much education that's required here. So first and foremost, my discussion for parents. It's the first comment I want to have is towards parents. And this conversation might be a little bit different, a little bit bitter for parents. But this is something we need to understand. We come from a zamana, a time, where, subhanAllah, people knew that, you know, no matter where you're going in life, you can be, you know, again, in a lower class in society, you could be a farmer, you could be, you know, someone who, you know, works as a tailor, you can be someone who's a little bit more educated. You know, you live in a certain country, and there's a certain mizaj, a certain lifestyle, a certain attitude towards life. And so we already knew at one time, although we never thought about nikah so much, eventually it was going to happen where you're going to get married. There's no way around that. Right? You weren't really engaging with the opposite gender. There wasn't a lot of exposure to it. Maybe many women, alhamdulillah, were very much covered. There wasn't really exposure towards a lot of haram things. So could you immediately speak to me here? You don't really think about it a lot. You never even had this issue. Many of us never even considered these things, right? These things never even came to our minds. Trust me, if it didn't come to your minds, it didn't come to our dada and dada and nana and nani's minds. They never even considered this issue. Right, they just knew we'll get married one day, we'll have lots of children, alhamdulillah, and then one day we'll go. That's it. Life was very simple. Now, this is the zamana we're coming from. We come to America, we come to this country, and what do we find? That everywhere you're looking at it, okay, and to make it as clean as I can, everyone around here is just naked. Would you not agree? Absolutely unbelievable how much they don't want to wear clothes here. I'm telling you, they wait for the weather forecast that when it gets a little higher, I'm telling you, you could probably put it to a degree, okay, like 65 to 66. And then, you know, one of them is like, woman is fully covered. The other one is just walks out like a monkey now. You know, subhanAllah. It's literally like degrees. They will check and wait for that one day that it's warm, just so that they can go and flaunt around their bodies again. So much haram that kids are exposed to. So much, you know, sexual things that kids are exposed to. So much that is wrong out there. And they're just seeing it all the time. They're seeing it all the time. Whether you turn on the TV, whether you're walking around the streets, where you're going to school, where you're going to university or college, wherever you're going, they're going to be exposed towards this type of thing, okay? Not only that, they're coming in with an experience of their Islam, which they realize at home, they learn their Islam at home, and then they come to school and they get a different experience. What do I mean? They come at home and they hear there's no conversation about boyfriend, girlfriend. There's no conversation about talking with other girls, boys, whatever. They don't have any talking with mixed gender at all. We, alhamdulillah, very, even with our own functions, although some of them are mixed, we don't talk about these things at home. There's no conversation about these things. We don't talk about dating, we don't talk about nikah, nothing. Whereas they go to school, what is the conversation at school? "Hey, you heard Katie? She's with Rebecca, right? You know, like she's with Bob right now. And Robert's with Rebecca. And you know, this other Bob is with another Bob, you know? Like it's Ajib, you know, like all these conversations. Guaranteed, 90 to 95% of these conversations are not about school, math, science, education. The conversation is about who's with whom, right? The conversation is about who's hooking up with whoever. And then what does the kid feel? Left out. That he doesn't know, he's like, "Look, I can't involve in these conversations." And then something attracts his eye because he's naturally going to have, I told you, his natural inclination a human being has in their feeling in their heart that I'm going to feel something towards someone eventually. This is going to happen. It's natural, right? And so some of them, they call it a crush. At the end, you get crushed, right? So it is what it is, right? Candy crush, whatever, right? SubhanAllah. The thing is that what? At the end, like the kid goes with the school with this idea. He sees all this stuff around him. And now he has no outlet. This is the tragedy of the matter, is that he has no outlet. There's no one for him to talk to about these issues, right? If it's a girl, she has no one to talk to. If it's a boy, he has no one to talk to. He tries to come home and he goes to his mom and dad. Imagine this. My beloved parents here, my respected muhtarim parents here, muhtaram parents, that if your son came to you at home and said, "Dad, I like a girl." Oh, it's not the fun, man. You know, you're going to hit him so hard, man. His face is going to be in India. One side is going to be America. The other side is going to be in India. You hit him so hard, subhanAllah. Ajeeb, because how angry you get. How dare you talk about such things in my house? Do you know what kind of house I came from? Brother and sister, my beloved mothers and parents in this masjid, mashallah. I know what family you came from, alhamdulillah. Allah gave us dindar nek families, alhamdulillah. We thank Allah Azza wa Jal. But the thing is that you're not living in a nek dindar society. And you have to learn to adjust. A little bit of adjustment. And this is something, unfortunately, because our culture is so, again, we're very distant from the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Because I'm telling you, at the end of this, you'll realize how simple nikah was in their time. Because it's either the boy will come up or the father and mother will be ready for it. They'll marry off very easily. These things are not very, like, they're not taboos, right? They're not something very strange to mention. But in our time, it very much is. My first suggestion, reminder to parents is, look, if you're sending your kids into the fire, please, please, please make sure that they are armed and ready for what they're going to go through. And have this conversation with them, okay? For kids, mashallah, they should feel open. Really, they should feel open. If they can't talk to their parents, who are they going to talk to? This is literally the whole conversation of gender we had before, if you remember. We talked about how parents, the teacher at school would say, don't talk to your parents, talk to me, right? Because why? Because if they can't talk to their parents, they'll agree with the teacher. They'll say, yeah, we can't talk to our mom and dad anyways. So let's go talk to the teacher, right? So the thing is that parents have to be open. Listen, bring up the conversation. If the kid looks like his brain is not working anymore, some screws are loose, right? You can tell when your kid is he's not straight anymore. You're like, okay, a little bit broken here. So then what do you, right? Screws a little loose. Let me help straighten him. Beta, do you want to get married? Is this some nikah thing you're having? Some issue with it, right? I'm telling you, as a parent, if you mention this to your child, he'll be shocked. He'll be shocked. First moment, he'll say, no. How could my dad ever say such a thing to me? But at the same time, he'll realize that my dad actually cares. And then next time you mention it, inshallah, he'll be happy. And maybe one day, inshallah, he'll come up to you and present it before you, right? Kids should never also feel shy. Look, it happens. Everyone happens, right? You know, there's only one way to have a halal relationship with the opposite gender. Only one way, as per our knowledge in our zaman, in our time, is that you have to get married, okay? If you want to have a relationship, you have to talk to your parents. I get it. It's uncomfortable. It's not easy. Trust me. I'm telling you from personal experience that when I had to go to my mom and talk about it, she had a heart attack. Today we were just joking about it today. She was reminding me of saying that, I always remember how I used to say, I'm going to get married, I'm going to have a son, right? And that's why Allah gave you a daughter first. we had this conversation. It was difficult. It was uncomfortable. People get a little shy about it. But again, you have to talk about it because you break the ice, you open the door, alhamdulillah, you can start to get married, right? Mashallah. That door starts to open. I encourage you as parents, look, the earlier you feel that your child, again, when he's going to high school, have a conversation. Say, my beloved son, daughter, that when you're in this environment, you'll see a lot of things which are haram. If ever you feel some inclination in the heart, let me know and we'll get to this, right? We'll start to talk about this. And we'll have some conversations in the right direction. This is my reminder to parents, okay? And obviously what happens is when I just said teenager and in high school and marriage, one thing came up in everyone's brains, which is what? That he doesn't have a job. How are you going to get married? Right? Subhanallah. And I'll get to it, inshallah. I'll get to it in a moment. This is my reminder for parents. For our beloved children here who are going through school, okay? Remember this and remind yourselves. Dating is absolutely haram. Dating is absolutely haram. There's no halal dating. There's no halal dating schemes. There's no halal methods of getting this done. None of these things are there. It's impermissible. Every single way, every single angle, we are not allowed to talk to the opposite gender, let alone look at them. You can't even look at the opposite gender. You're supposed to keep your gaze low around them. You're not supposed to be looking at them. And so you have to be strong enough and man enough and brave enough. Then what happens is what? Oh, I fell in love. I fell in love with Rebecca. Oh, I love Rebecca so much. Rebecca. He's praying Isha Salah, thinking about Rebecca, right? Ajeeb, right? So then he thinks he's falling in love. And this is the thing. I'm telling you, you don't understand what love is. At your age, absolutely have no idea what love is. Absolutely not. You have no idea what it is. At 13, are you joking? Are you kidding me? You barely know how to like change your own diaper, let alone... No, go and subhanAllah, like Allahu Akbar, I know what love is. You don't know what it is, right? Because why? Because when people fall in love, they have a crush, right? They get crushed, right? They feel the crush. What do they feel? They're feeling an emotion towards this person, right? And they don't realize, subhanAllah, that you don't really know what it means to love the other person. You're loving the feeling, okay? You don't love the person, you love the feeling. You love the emotion that gives you, the drive that it gives you, right? And I guarantee I guarantee. And I give this advice to a lot of kids. I said, they said they fell in love with someone. I said, stop talking to them for 30 days. I said, cut them off completely for 30 days. I said, if you still like them after 30 days, then we'll consider something. They all, every single one of them, without fail, every single one of them, without fail, after 30 days, they said, we completely forgot about them. Whole life is not even important. They're not even important anymore, because that's not love. Love is what? That no matter where you go in the world, you're still thinking about the beloved. Wherever you go, think about your love with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Think about that, subhanAllah. Because I'm not falling in love with the feeling. I'm falling in love with the person. And that when you love the person, it's much different from falling in love with the feeling. Because the feeling can come and go. Feelings are temporary. But when you love the person, Allahu Akbar, no matter where you are, who you are, you're always going to be thinking about, are they okay? Are they fine? How can I take care of them? That's responsibility. That's what love is that you're thinking of responsibility now. So now what happens is what? SubhanAllah, our kids, Allahu Akbar, when you find these things again, remind yourself, look, it's haram, it's impermissible, and take a strong fast. Look, it's going to happen. You are in high school. The likelihood of your parents marrying you off in high school, mashallah, I'll give you some percentage, but I won't say it's pretty high, okay? You're going to have to be a little patient here. Fast, inshallah. The Prophet says, man istata' minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj wa lam yastati' fa'alayka bis-sawm. Whoever amongst you, the Prophet went up to the young boys and said, from whom amongst you, whoever has the ability to get married, then he should get married. And whoever does not have the ability, then he should fast. Keep a roza, keep one or two days of fasting throughout the week, and maybe even a couple of fasts, direct, straight fast, inshallah. Trust me, your heart and your brain, everything will be screwed on together again, inshallah. You won't feel these things, inshallah, ta'ala. But remember, it happens, but you have to be strong enough and tell yourself, this is why I tell everyone about this dating nonsense. Unbelievable. They say they love the person. I said, so you like that they will be in the fire Jahannam then? You like that you both go to hellfire then? And this is what you're telling me. You said you love this person so much. I said, then why are you throwing them in Jahannam? Because at the end, if they're committing zina, what's going to happen? They're going to go to hellfire. I said, SubhanAllah, that's a lot of love you have. That's a lot of love you have, because you know what's going to happen after they die. This is not love. This is absurdity. This is nonsense. Shaitan has deceived and deluded you. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina, Allah Ta'ala says, do not even approach zina. And now, so this is my whole context of our conversation. Look, if you understand it, I want to understand what I'm going to take us with, inshallah, is that, look, zina and nikah are on a spectrum. Zina and nikah are on a spectrum. They're on a line. If you start taking steps towards nikah, if you start going towards the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then what's going to happen automatically is zina will become difficult. And if you start walking towards making nikah difficult, and hard, then automatically zina will become easy for people. So this you have to remember. If you make nikah easy, zina will become hard. If you make nikah hard, zina will become easy. So keeping this in mind, when you send your kid off to a dorm, right? Allahu Akbar. And he's by himself. He has no religious training. He said, beta, go ahead, bismillah. I know there are colleges and parties and drinking and alcohol and all these different things and drugs and all these things. Beta, you're a good boy. You'll be fine. I trust you so much. You trust any of your kids? Honestly, don't lie to me. Allahu Akbar. You are sacrificing his deen and akhirah, everything, subhanAllah. And then when he comes home, he says, dad, I met Rebecca. What are you going to do now? Rebecca's going to kill you, right? SubhanAllah. You know, this is the thing. Look, man, in the dorms, could you imagine in our time, subhanAllah, at least dorms had some limit, right? You'd be sleeping next to a guy, you know, like he has a one bedroom, right? Separate bed, right? Nowadays, you don't know if you'd be sleeping next to the guy. What a scary time. Ajeeb, man. Allah protect me. Allah protect all the guys trying to dorm, man. SubhanAllah. I would even risk my whole life for that. Allahu Akbar. Any case. So the thing is that, look, you have to understand about the question about finance. And this is my humble, humble reminder to everyone. Allah Ta'ala says, "One kiyu hayyam minkum as-salihin min ibadik wa imaikum." I have the Quran, okay? "Iyakunu fuqara yughnihimullahu min fadli." Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says so beautifully. It says, "Marry off the single who are from amongst you, and the slave women and the slave girls." Basically, those who are incapable of getting married financially speaking. "Iyakunu fuqara," even if they are poor, "yughnihimullahu min fadli." Allah will enrich them from Him, from His fadl. Okay, and this has been testified, and verified. From a personal experience, from anecdotal experience, and just experience in general about our entire Muslim ummah, mashallah. When you get married, Allah will increase your risk. Why does Allah increase your risk? Because now you have dependence. You have responsibility. And because of that, automatically Allah will give you barakah and khair, mashallah ta'ala. I want to remind parents, inshallah, okay? When the conversation starts up in high school, alhamdulillah, and you're sending off to college, which is the most wild of scenarios, the most extreme of areas you're going to find in all of society is going to be in college. The most haram is to be committed in that area, okay? Consider for yourself that if I give my child, mashallah, a spouse, alhamdulillah, and he can go through college and they can live separately for some time, alhamdulillah, they'll both be going through their schooling and things like that, then mashallah, you know, eventually there are a lot of tax benefits, right? Tremendous amount of tax benefits for getting married. Trust me, there's a lot of financial benefit for you guys. The second thing is what? Alhamdulillah, the kids' mind will be focused. And thirdly, mashallah, after they get married, alhamdulillah, your problem's already solved. They've been married already. You're good to go. Although, alhamdulillah, he's been living in your house, she's been living in her house, they at least have their minds focused. They know what they're going to be doing. Now, parents, when they hear this, they get upset. They say, number one, that's going to affect their education. It's going to delay their education. And number two is what? That no, I don't want them to be married. Absolutely not. It's incorrect for them to be married. So I give you parents as my reminder. Would you rather have your child married with a spouse, alhamdulillah, a halal spouse? Or would you rather have them with finding a boyfriend or girlfriend, spending 4 years of college with that girlfriend or boyfriend? Because you didn't give them an option, so what did they have to do? You made nikah hard, so therefore they went towards zina. I'm reminding everyone, inshallah ta'ala, if your child looks like he wants to get married, then subhanAllah, give him something that he can look forward to, alhamdulillah, someone he can talk to very happily, mashallah. You take care of him like you've been taking care of him. Afterwards, inshallah ta'ala, he'll be fine. People don't, for some reason, they say education is going to hurt their education. For the life of me, I don't get it. You're okay with them having a boyfriend, girlfriend, and then them going through college and thinking that won't affect their education. But when it comes to, you know, nikah, oh no, that's going to hurt their education. Allahu Akbar, what are we talking about here? SubhanAllah. This is the thing. You can go through education while being married, right? It's not like you have to abandon college when you get to nikah. Many of us, mashallah, maybe had that experience back home. We actually were married while we were in college as well, subhanAllah. It happens. It's fine. Kids here can do the same thing. They're not mutually exclusive, right? You can do both of them together. So consider it, inshallah, for the benefit of your children. And then they, alhamdulillah, because they're both focused, most of the time will be towards college and stuff like that. And the kid in his mind, the boy in his mind, okay? Because the boy now has to think about something. What is the most important thing after, like, while he's in college, what is he thinking about now? He has to think about getting a job. Immediately has to think about getting a job. Because now he says, I have someone I have to take care of. So immediately his mind is always set. I got to get a job afterwards. And he can't wait because he knows I have to take care of someone. So mashallah, you get his mind straight. Everything works together, alhamdulillah. The sunnah of Rasulullah has so many benefits. I'm telling you, if you were to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah, all your problems will be solved. So then mashallah, we should not make financial an issue or a detriment. We do this. Financial comes up not just within college. Financial comes up after college. We say, no, after college, he's still not old enough, right? He needs to have a lot of things before the nikah is even a viability here, right? There has to be a house. There has to be a car. There has to be a job. There has to be maybe a double PhD at least, you know, something, you know, at least have his doctorate before. He used to be a doctor at least, right? And subhanAllah, all these things happen, right? And then what happens? The boy gets older. The girl gets older. They hit ages like maybe 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, right? And then now we'll look for nikah, okay? Now here's the thing. Who has more advantage in nikah? The one who is younger, the one who is older? Automatically, it's always the one who is younger. Automatically, the one who is younger. Because why? Because they have more opportunities. You have more time and you can mess up a bit more. You can find one, not like it, another one, like, right? You have a little bit of options, right? What happens when you get older though? Options start to decrease, okay? To the point that it becomes virtually impossible sometimes, right? And so we raise our kids thinking like this. And unfortunately, they have the same mentality in their heads too. There are a couple of uncles in our community that came up to me and said their children are too old. They would need to get married. So I never mentioned it to them. But in my head, I'm thinking, what were you doing? You know, your child became so old. What were you doing? What happened when he was like 25, you know, 22, 23? Why didn't you think about it then? Why is it now that you're thinking like, oh man, he should be married now? I said, you made this in his mind. Now he thinks he doesn't need marriage. And then one day he will or she will regret. Like that 30-year-old woman who messaged us in the masjid, right? Ajeeb question she asked. She said that I am 38 years old. There's no hope for me to get married. The sister's here with my humble, just mentioning it for people, for nasiha and for your own nasiha, inshallah. The thing is she said that I'm 38 years old. There's no Indian man who will marry me anymore. There's no one who will marry me anymore. I'm too old now. And I really want to get married. She said, my parents completely dropped the ball. They did not do correct. So please give me permission to marry a non-Muslim. I said, SubhanAllah, you're coming to a Mawlana to ask for permission to marry a non-Muslim. You should have just, you know, SubhanAllah, right? What do you do? So I told her, look, Allah says very clearly, you cannot marry anyone, right? Who's not a Muslim. That's very clear. Even for Muslim men, I highly, extremely advise you that there's a lot of detriment to even consider marrying outside of Islam. You're not going to find that happiness that you're looking for. A lot of things you're going to sacrifice for. The biggest sacrifice you're going to make is your children. The biggest sacrifice you're going to make is your children. Your awlad will not embrace Islam the way you wanted them to be. And then when you have to pass away and go for janazah, it became so difficult. We cannot even find a single child of this man. The one person I'm telling you from experience, a single child of this man to lead and perform the janazah for his own father, because all of them are Christian. These things people need to think about. There are realities, there's practical things that are involved here. So keeping this in mind, subhanAllah, I responded to the sister and I said, sister, I said that, look, there's no alternative to marrying from Muslim. You have to marry Muslim. But I said that, look, you limited your options from the beginning. She's a 38-year-old and I can't marry any, no Indian man will marry me. I said, subhanAllah, yeah, I don't think you'll find Indian anymore, but there's a lot of varieties of men out there, mashallah. We have a whole bunch of supermodels, mashallah, in different countries all over the world, mashallah, ta'ala, right? I said, there are many men from across the world, across the globe, that'll be looking for a woman of this age. It's not completely wrong, right? But they're not going to be Indian, right? That's the only thing. And I said that, look, sister, beloved sister, just explore your options, be open. You kind of miss the age to be able to choose anymore. You don't really get the chance, the luxury of choosing anymore. You have to kind of accept what else is there, right? And that's the thing, we don't want to become, everyone wants the fantasy. Right? So now, subhanAllah, everyone, like, you know, if alhamdulillah, the parents are talking and the son is talking, right? Now it comes the time to be searching for someone. We're supposed to be searching, right? Now everyone wants this amazing fantasy in their brain. What is the fantasy? The brother says, I'm going to marry, mashallah, a woman of 10 out of 10. She has to be 10 out of 10. Okay? Absolute, mutlaqan 10 out of 10. What is it? It is 10 out of 10 in beauty, 10 out of 10 in education, 10 out of 10 in terms of worldly knowledge. 10 out of 10 in terms of dunya. She should also be alima sheikha too, somewhere in there. Maybe a PhD as well, mashallah. Everything, mashallah ta'ala. And she has to be 18 years old as well. I want someone who's very young. Very young. She has to be extremely young. Okay? 10 out of 10 out of everything. 10 out of 10, everything, right? And this is like on the boy's side. What about the girl's side? 10 out of 10, right? He has to be 10 out of 10 looks. Has to be going to the gym. Very fit. But really care about his deen too. Five times daily prayers in the masjid, right? SubhanAllah, at the same time, he has to have a couple of PhDs. I don't want him to be too old though. Maybe like, you know, 23, 24. That double PhD though. He has to have everything, right? SubhanAllah. And then making sure everything, like every box has to be checked. Allahu Akbar. We have such imaginations, Ajeeb. This is how you know we're Jannati people, mashallah. Because only you can find this in Jannah. Only you can find this in Jannah. There's no person in existence like so, SubhanAllah. Right? You have to be practical when it comes to your checklist. And I tell everyone, make a checklist of things that are important to you, okay? The Prophet ﷺ gives you the most important checklist. تُنْكَحَ الْمَرَوْ لِأَرْبَعَ لِجَمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَضْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَكَ. The Prophet ﷺ says, women are married for four. And by extension, many men are married for four. Women are married for four. They're married for their wealth. They're married for their beauty. They're married for their status. And they're married for their deen. Okay, the Prophet said, in general, these are the four reasons why women are married. For these four reasons. For wealth, for beauty, for status, and for deen. Then the Prophet says, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. Find the one that follows deen. تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكْ. And then the Prophet said something close to, it's an idiom in Arabic. When the Arabs say, when your hands become dusty, right? It means like, you know, Allah Akbar, like, come on, man. Like, do this. Why? This is not a second question. You have to find the person of deen. So the first priority for everyone is deen, because why? What fades? Beauty fades, okay? Wealth will one day fade. You know, status one day will also fade. Everything will fade, but what doesn't fade? Deen, okay? So you have to consider these things to be zeros, okay? Mal is zero, hisab is zero, nasab is zero. You know, mal, status, wealth, and beauty are all zeros. And deen is one, okay? So if you get the one, mashallah, and you get the beauty, that's 10. If you get one and you get wealth and beauty, that's 100. If you get the one and you get the other ones, right? You get everything, you get 1,000, mashallah. You get a lot of points. But if you don't have the one, you completely have zero. Okay, this is the thing. Okay, now this is why I tell people, subhanAllah, you know, we're always opting for something, mashallah. And I think it's because we look around too much. This is our big problem. Okay, why is she not a 10 out of 10? You ever think about why she's not a 10 out of 10? Because I'm comparing her to an actual 10 out of 10 that I saw. SubhanAllah. Whereas if she was the only woman you were looking at, Wallahi, tallahi, billahi al-azim, she's only 10 out of 10 because I have no other comparison. This is the problem. We soiled and spoiled our eyes by using it towards haram, and then we don't like halal anymore. And this is the thing. People need to be careful about this. Is it getting hot in here? People need, like, window open. Yeah, inshallah. I think I don't want... Sorry, very toasty conversation, right? And they're all going to burn from what we have to be talking about. I don't know. Never mind. One day, inshallah. So now, a person should first and foremost prioritize deen. The Prophet ﷺ said, when someone comes to you of character and deen, and you reject, and the Prophet ﷺ said, if a person, hadith of Tirmidhi, if a person comes to you who has deen and has akhlaq, has khuluq, and you, the Prophet ﷺ said, so accept them. And if you do not, there'll be fasad in the earth, there'll be tremendous corruption and fasad in the earth, the Prophet ﷺ said. Be very careful again. When someone comes with a good proposal, And we reject them off of ajeeb, different types of things. So what does our checklist look like? Okay. So then, you know, if it comes from, and there are certain things we have in our checklist, some of them are correct, some of them incorrect, like I told you. First and foremost, be realistic with your expectations. Okay. If you know they're going to be a certain age, then you know there's going to be some certain things along with that. Okay. And now second thing is what? That if you have certain things which are important to you, you put them down as importance. So for example, we have to live with our parents. Maybe that's a very important thing for you. You have to make sure, inshallah, to mention that. Okay. You don't mention that after we get married 1 month in. Hey, honey, I know I love you so much, but my mom and dad have to live with us too. She's like, I didn't sign up for this. You have to mention that. Tell them, inshallah. Do you want a wife that stays home while you go and work, right? Do you want someone that's like this? Do you want a cooperative like this for the girls to look about the husband, right? Do you want him to, to help you around with certain things, to take care of certain things you can't do, certain things you can do. One of the biggest fitna of our time is that no one in the house knows how to cook anymore, right? Man or woman, nobody knows, right? This is something, alhamdulillah, at least for men, there's something we also like to learn, right? MashaAllah, some of the best culinary chefs in the world are men too. Allahu Akbar, you know? But nowadays, because no one knows how to cook, everyone's eating out. Allahu Akbar. You can't survive like that, okay? You're going to be making a huge salary in order to afford that. Someone should learn, right? So subhanAllah, if she says, honestly, I don't know how to do it, the guy's like, okay, I'll take a couple of cooking classes. We'll work together. Look, marriages are very complicated matters, right? Allah takes two different people, two different personalities. Ajib how Allah does it. Two different people that they will never seem like they can work together. But subhanAllah, their qualities kind of mesh well so well, they fit like a puzzle. Allahu Akbar. Only Allah can do that, really. Wallahi, only Allah can do that. So now you write out your checklist, right? And then you be flexible. You say, okay, these are some things I will like, certain things I won't like. You know, there's certain things I'm okay with, certain not, right? One of them is, for example, marrying within culture. Now mention these for the kids, okay? Because obviously we all want that he marries from Bangladesh. Okay, like he has to marry from my country, my place, my village, right? And so subhanAllah, you know, and once upon a time, now this is the thing. When you're coming from back home, right? And this is how we understand, again, it's all, we have to understand the generational gap here. When it comes from back home, how easy was it for you to get married? Pretty simple. Because why? Because everyone knows each other. The families are very close to each other. And you always had options and people are always keeping their eye on certain people, right? So then when the time came for nikah, you said, okay, there's this person available. So alhamdulillah, then, you know, the marriage process is very simple, right? When you come to America though, what's the problem? Nobody here knows anybody, right? So then you have trouble finding people and locating people. Right, so then people have to do a lot of things. So they have to create different matrimonial sites, right? People have to create speed dating, right? People have to create this and this, trying to figure out a way to get people to match together, right? And there's something, mashallah, even for the masjid, I always think about it for a while, that alhamdulillah, if we have like a small little database so people can at least put their CVs together, at least, you know, something to help people. But unfortunately, what happens is when you put these CVs together, people start blaming the masjid. It's like the masjid's fault that I'm not getting married. Listen, man, it's nobody's fault except yourself, okay? Like, you can't blame anyone. People waiting for, I think they wait for Jubilation to come down and perform the nikah or something. Allahu Akbar, I don't know. But people are waiting for something. I don't know what they're waiting for. You have to be proactive in America. It's not going to happen by waiting for someone else to do it for yourself. The thing is that the most important advice I can give you for those people that are looking for nikah is to involve yourself in the community. Be part of the community. The more you show your face, the more people know you're there, the more they'll pay attention and say, hey, maybe I can marry my son off or my daughter off to this person. Even if you don't come from the same country, you have to be a little bit flexible here. You have to be a little flexible. If he speaks close to my language, if the dialect is a little different, right? Or even comes to the next door country, something else, mashallah, I should be a little bit flexible with the matter. Especially if this kid is looking outstanding in his deen, right? If he looks outstanding in the deen, alhamdulillah, what do I have to reject him for? There's no reason to reject him, mashallah. A lot of these converts, subhanAllah, they end up waiting a long time because no one wants to marry them off. Whereas they'll be the best ones, mashallah. I tell brothers, subhanAllah, I said, you want to get married right away? I said, go into tabligh. Go into tabligh. Go for 40 days. I said, by the end of it, one of the brothers in the Jamaat will marry off their daughter to you. I swear, subhanAllah, the most flexible people I've always met in mashallah in terms of nikah is the tablighi brothers, mashallah. Because why? Because they knew that, subhanAllah, it's about deen. And alhamdulillah, if my daughter is happy with someone in deen, I'm only with their life for so long. This man will be here forever, right? So subhanAllah, they recognize these points, right? So think about that, inshallah, for our brothers here, inshallah. But listen, if you have to involve yourself in the community, make your face known. And then alhamdulillah, let people know and people will pass things around. Alhamdulillah, it works out very easy. As long as you're known, you're noticeable. If you're here, alhamdulillah, people will pay attention. If you're not here, how are you going to blame the people that no one wants to marry me? I said, you're not even here. Where do you come from? You haven't been here for 4 years and now you're complaining about no one being married to you. SubhanAllah, come to the masjid, be regular, and then see, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah give afiyah, make it easy for everyone. Now, for the younger guys, they said, no, I don't want to marry Bengali. Bengali is absolutely wrong. I hate Bengali. You know, I hate the curry smell. I hate walking around with like knowing that my walls have like, you know, yellowish on them because of the curry, you know? SubhanAllah, it's not a comfortable experience for anyone, I guarantee it. Okay? Lord Ban was very difficult. Our walls are white then, right? SubhanAllah. Right? It's uncomfortable, right? But the thing is that I want to give you just, you know, patient nazar, right? Just giving you my little perspective, a little analysis for you, okay? SubhanAllah, you grew up your whole life eating a certain type of food, which is the food of your mother. Your mother cooked a certain way. She had a certain curry that she used, tarkari that she used to make, a certain way of cooking for you, okay? And now, SubhanAllah, you didn't realize your whole life that you were being nourished by that food, okay? And so your whole life you've been eating, although you maybe didn't even care about eating. Your mom made sure the food was on the table and you continued to eat from her hand, mashallah. And she fed you and fed you with love and everything, although maybe you didn't even thank her once for it. Allah, may Allah allow us to thank our mothers. They did so much for us. Now, SubhanAllah, you're thinking, I don't want to marry Bangladeshi because why? If I marry Bangladeshi, this and this, and they're going to have this cultural baggage. I don't know what that word means yet. Cultural baggage. I'm not sure. Okay. Maybe someone here can help me define it. Okay. The thing is that what? When you decide to marry from outside your country or your culture, then you find that when you have the food, the different food that comes home, it's no longer curry. It's like, you know, rice and like peas and carrot, right? Just dry peas and dry carrots. And you're looking at it, and you're like, is that it? And you start telling yourself, okay, maybe that was just one day, right? It's just day one. Okay, maybe the next day. That's one that you see the next day, peas and carrots. Just regular white rice and peas and carrots. And you're just wondering, man, this is really dry. It's not digesting. It's not going down anymore. And I tell you, SubhanAllah, you're going to have some issues that are going to come up. And you're not going to realize a lot of these issues were taken off. These boxes were checked because you came from the same culture. A lot of the things which are natural for us, we don't realize how natural they are in our life. That they, because we came from the same culture, she already understood these things. So you have to remember that, inshallah, that these things have a benefit. It has a khayr. Some people can go past it. I'm not denying that. But the thing is that you have to be real with yourself. There's certain things that maybe it's good. It's nothing wrong. Trust me, it's not haram. Trust me, okay? Certain people have this mentality, they want to marry from back home, right? And I think, mashallah, it's a good thing. But remember that they're nice American girls, alhamdulillah, have traditional values too. People are very scared to marry from American girls, very terrified, okay? I just want to let you know, okay, there's good and bad in everything, okay? You might get cultural baggage from back home. You might get some American baggage from here. There's a lot of guessing work here and stuff like that. Some brothers really marry from back home because, alhamdulillah, like it helps them, mashallah, because they know someone of deen and stuff like that. That's what they chose. And they're willing to make sacrifices, okay? I'm telling you, marriage is such a crazy experience, okay? Now, like, let me tell you, for example, one person, subhanAllah, Hanafi guy here. Crazy stuff. I don't have enough time today, really. I'm probably going to get to half the conversation. One guy, Hanafi guy here, he marries, right? Marries a Shafi girl from back home. So, mashallah, he's a Chinese brother, mashallah, accepts Islam. Alhamdulillah, he gets married. So, he finds a girl from Indonesia, and he gets married to her from Indonesia. She is, though, she doesn't follow any madhab. She goes from the Salafi understanding. She says, I only follow Quran and Sunnah, right? And so now he gets married to her, right? And now they're always arguing about what is the right way, what is the masala, what is this and that. And she doesn't accept his muftis, he doesn't accept her muftis. And they're always fighting and bickering. And so he comes up to me, he argues, he said, well, you know, I'm fighting with her every day, I'm arguing with her every day. I was like, listen, man, you don't fight, you don't argue about deen at home. There's no conversations of deen at home. Right, there's only nice fadail, nice blessings virtues. We don't talk about masail at home. This is the rule, right? But this stuff happens. If you think about it, right? One Salafi brother, he married one Hanafi girl, and they had such marital discord. Allahu Akbar. Eventually, the guy said she was kafir. Can you imagine that? Allahu Akbar. It's hectic, man. Imagine you come home. Imagine you marry a girl, and you didn't realize that she doesn't eat hand slaughtered zabiha. She takes machine slaughter. I know it might be like ikhtilaf, some question, difference of opinion, but could you live with that? It's hard, right? It's question. It's difficult stuff. SubhanAllah. So make sure your boxes are checked. Make sure you're very attentive about how you live your life. And then you make that checklist. And then you design it, okay? Most important is deen. Because why? Alhamdulillah, if she knows, look, I'll give you some questions that should always be there. But one day you're going to have to sit down to her and talk to her, okay? When you have to sit and talk, there are a couple of... Let me just turn off this. There are a couple of conversations that happen. Number one is with the family you have to talk to. And number two is with the girl. Actually, before all of that, okay, now you found someone that you like. Okay, like a brother finds, mashallah, he walks around. It's like, oh, what a beautiful girl this is. Sister Fatima or Amina or something. It's like, wow, she looks amazing. Like a very exotic gazelle. It's like, I'm so excited about her, right? SubhanAllah. And now he's like, okay, how do I approach her? Do you go straight up to her and ask her? No, man, you probably get beaten by a stick or something. Someone will kill you. No matter how 10 out of 10 you are. There's no 10 out of 10 here. You have to follow process and procedure. If you like someone, subhanAllah, if you feel interested in someone, then you have to go through the process, find out, right? Investigate, do some research. Alhamdulillah, Muslim communities are very insular. You know, we all talk about everybody. There's gossip all the time. So much riba, mashallah. The riba is very advantageous here. There's a lot of benefit in this riba, right? Because the backbiting, alhamdulillah, will help you. Oh yeah, this sister here, that's who she is, this and that. You get an idea, right? You get to talk to other people, right? You maybe talk to one brother, say, hey, can you talk to your sister? Find out about the sister, right? There are ways you have to get there. Be smart about it, right? You just don't go approach and be like, sister, can I get your number? She'll slap you so hard, man, subhanAllah. You're going to get beat down, Allahu Akbar, right? The thing is that you have to go through the process of going through the family because we're very careful. Alhamdulillah, for the most part, majority of Muslim marriages work out because why? Because we're very careful about this process. Very careful about this process. So now, subhanAllah, you get to, mashallah, the chance, or after you make your list, and you talk about the checklist that you have, alhamdulillah, you get to go meet the families. And families have very different ways of checking if the spouse is a good boy, right? They check a lot of different ways. Some of them, mashallah, they'll have like a meal with him. Some of them, subhanAllah, there are certain cultures in the world, they'll actually go umrah with him, right? They'll say, we'll go with him on umrah, see the actual adab and etiquette, mashallah. Right, mashallah, if you can afford that, alhamdulillah, may Allah give you more, mashallah, man, barakah, alhamdulillah. Right, some people, mashallah, they bring home certain questions, right, certain ways he prays, certain things, right, mashallah, you're checking for a lot of things. But the families have to check first, right? And sometimes a girl will be looking from the corner of the room, right? She'll be looking from behind the partition, right? She'll be looking inside, right? And your wife probably like saw you before you even saw her a long time ago, right? Allahu Akbar. She's always been scanning, examining you. And you didn't even know it, right? She's like, he's a little fat. He's a little skinny, right? They're always checking, right, subhanAllah, from the partition, right? And then subhanAllah, then she'll bring, like, for example, in certain Turkish communities, is that she'll bring a chai out, right? And then if she likes the boy, then the chai is sweet. And if she doesn't like the boy, the chai is bitter. It's very clear. So she it makes it very clear, right? Especially in the Hanafi madhab, our very much a big perspective for us is that the girl has to approve. Very much. You know why? We like that two people, witnesses, go ask the girl directly. Because our madhab says it's not even jais until she says yes, right? Because her father can't just marry her off like that. We have to approve from the girl's side as well. Mashallah, it's very important. It is important. So the thing is that, you know, there has to be a lot of different approvals. The family will check you, subhanAllah. You have to let that check go and be very reasonable. The thing is that you're not just marrying the girl. You're going to marry the family, okay? Now, this is the thing, again, another thing about culture. Because, alhamdulillah, you come from the same culture, there are certain things, again, that are expected from cultures, right? Now, if you write, I hate culture, and she goes and says, I hate culture, and you both agree that we will never do anything cultural with each other, right? I guarantee you something's going to happen in life. Like this one brother who married to this one sister, they both said, we hate everything cultural and we will not do anything cultural with each other. So they found out very quickly that there are certain things in life that you just kind of internalized as being part of life, not part of culture. So for example, they said that we won't be part of each other's culture. So when the girl's sister was having a baby, right? Right. And so then the thing is that it's not part of sunnah for the man to come and attend or be part of that function, right? And so then she said, okay, I'll go by myself, right? And then there was a function where his brother, alhamdulillah, was going to get married, right? And they just want to have like small little celebratory dinner, right? Just having as a dawat. But that's not from sunnah either. So then the girl couldn't go. And now the man looks so embarrassed because everyone else brought their families and he's coming by himself. Right? And then they realized these clashes eventually happened where he had to kind of push her to come and start to force each other. So these discords happen, right? So again, remember, there is a place for these things. Don't knock it, right? So because you marry a family, at the end of the day, it's not like you just steal the woman and run away. You have to attend certain things, mashallah. So now that you marry, after speaking to the family, alhamdulillah, and the conversations are met, mashallah, and then alhamdulillah, you get to see, it is part of the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to go and see a picture, right? To see something so that you are content with it. And there should be some conversation, a little bit of conversation that makes you happy about the girl, okay? Just a little bit. Not dating. There's not some dating that you can start taking like 1 year or 2 years of like, okay, let me just keep getting to talk to her and know to her. Let's take her out for Dunkin' Donuts. Let's go for Starbucks now and all these different things to have a conversation with her. You have to, mashallah, very minimal amount to the point you can ask just certain questions. You ask very straight questions. Be nice and very polite, nice guy, but just ask good questions, okay? Like, you know, what is your, you know, alhamdulillah, what is your purpose of life, right? How much deen do you practice, right? How much is deen important for you? What do you think is the roles of a husband? What do you think is the roles of a wife? Like big questions. Don't ask like, what is your favorite color? What video games do you like? Like, what are you talking about? My God, subhanAllah. Ask nice big questions, mashallah. Once you get through that checklist again, alhamdulillah, and you're content and you're satisfied, mashallah, then alhamdulillah, once you again, you went through the list, right? You tried to go through the proper process. You went through the community. Alhamdulillah, you went through the parents. And then mashallah, you met the families. Then you met the girl, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, now everyone is happy, okay? Sometimes, subhanAllah, we make it that we do ajeeb things. We say that the girl, for example, in certain cultures, they say that the girl cannot propose, the boy has to propose, right? Or certain cultures say, no, the girl side has to propose and they prepare these things. I wanted to let you know that the sunnah of the Prophet is both sides. Anyone can do. Don't wait, okay? If you find someone good, say, no, no, no. I'm not going to do it until they do it, right? And now they think at home, like, no, no, no. I'm not going to do it until they do it. So everyone, both of them is waiting, and the marriage doesn't even happen. Nothing even happens. And then what happens? The proposal goes away. It happens many times, unfortunately. So now, subhanAllah, the proposal is done. The family accepts. Now, what should happen right away? What should happen right away? Nikah. You all are saying this with your tongues, but the amal denies what you guys say. Because when we say nikah should be done after the mashallah, the proposal, we say, no, no, there's a mehndi. There's a guy hulut. There's a ceremony. There's this and this. Oh, no, 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 no. You have to wait at least 6 months. No, 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 no. You have to wait about a year. No, no, no. You have to finish college first. What are you talking about? Although we did the talks, you can't do it. No, 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 none of these, right? And then we cause such, again, the stress on the boy and the girl's brain. Allahu Akbar. They finally went through so many hurdles. Allahu Akbar. Could you imagine what hardship they're going through? Again, through school and college. Again, through the dorms. Everything, subhanAllah. And finally, they have a halal outlet before them, mashallah. A girl that they can talk to or a boy that they can talk to. And they're very happy about it. And the parents say, no, 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 I'm sorry. You're going to have to wait even longer now. You're going to kill this boy. You're going to kill this girl. I want to remind everyone, subhanAllah, there's no gai hulud in the sunnah. There's no mehndi in the sunnah. There's none of these things, right? We waste a lot. There's a lot of israf that is committed, unfortunately. Allah forgive. So much israf, so much wasting of food, so much wasting decorations of money, so much things are spent, so much wrong is done. Allah Akbar, so many haram things are committed. And the worst one is what? That the girl is propped up there on stage and people get to look at her and admire her beauty. Okay, so what happens is she's not supposed to be looked at by men like so. And number two, that she's not supposed to show her off like herself like so. Because if she gets pride in her heart because of the way she looks, woman takabbara, whoever has kibir in their heart, they're not entering Jannah. You put your daughter into a very precarious position, very difficult position by putting her up there. The worst one is what? That salah time comes, she cannot perform salah because there's too much makeup on her face. She cannot make wudu, she can't pray salah, no one wants her off the stage. Who made her commit all this haram? This is the thing. Allah forgive. I'm not here to upset anyone, but I'm just saying that, subhanAllah, we have to think about these things. If someone were to complain at you and you said, you know what, forget all these things, I want to, inshallah, take whatever funds we had to perform these functions and give it to my son and my daughter and make them happy for the rest of their life. And people said that, hey, you didn't do this, you didn't do this, you didn't do this. Just respond to them very nicely. Did the Prophet ﷺ do these things? Did Rasulullah ﷺ do these things? Did the ashraful makhluqat, the noblest of all creation, the best of all creation, Rasulullah Uswatun Hasana, the best role model, did he do any of these things? If he didn't do it, then I don't have to do it either. Okay, just be honest, be strong. I know, trust me, it's hard. I'm still getting heat, okay? Marriages in our communities are very bitter. If you do it the sunnah way, people are going to hate you. They'll hate you for a lifetime, okay? I hope they'll like me in Jannah, inshallah. But they're not going to like you here, okay? It's very difficult, okay? I still have friends today. When it happened, no one in my community, no one in my I wasn't able to tell everyone on time. It was a big mess. I won't lie. Okay, it was a big mess. Okay, I got married even without even realizing it was about to happen on that day. Could you imagine that? Okay, it was very, very difficult. I don't have enough time to talk about it. I don't know if you guys want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it. Anyways, so then, subhanAllah, one of my friends, he didn't talk to me for a whole month. He said, you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me you got married. I said, Baba, brother, my beloved Habibi, I didn't know I was getting married either. Okay, like it's the same thing, man. Okay, like I didn't even know. How could I tell you? My mom didn't even get a chance to find out either, right? It was a really difficult, weird position, right? My dad walking in the room, he's like, you know, like, you're going to marry off your son? He's like, yeah, I'm going to marry off my son. I'm like, Dad, don't you want to talk to mom? He's like, no, I'm the man of the house. I get to decide. I said, you're not the man of the house. Don't pretend right now. It's one of them that happens, Allahu Akbar. Things like that happen, Allahu Akbar. They don't realize. They're not from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdurrahman bin Auf, what time is Maghrib? We'll finish right before, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's neighbors to Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu moves to Medina. He is a wealthy businessman in Makkah. Really wealthy and businessman in Makkah. He has no money when it comes to Medina. The Ansari that was connected to him, the companion that was connected to him in Medina said, if you want, I'll give you half my house, half my finances, and half of everything. I have two wives. I'll divorce one. She can marry you too. Abdurrahman bin Auf said, it's okay. Just point me to the market. I'll take care of it. They said, Abdurrahman bin Auf was such a good businessman. If he flipped a rock, he'll find gold underneath. That's how good he was. He just was so good at it. So mashallah, within a short amount of time, he's able to, alhamdulillah, get his own house. And alhamdulillah, also get married. And then he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being his neighbor. And the Prophet sees a little bit of a colored atar, right? A colored perfume on him. And this is what girls wear. Boys don't wear this. So Prophet says, Anakata, did you get married? Say, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Nah, subhanAllah. Imagine, right? If it was in our community, Allah Akbar, forget it. He's never getting invited. Nothing. He's out of my will. Everything. No miras. Nothing. Because I cut this man out. The Prophet said, did you make walima yet? And then the man, Ibn Rahman said, no, I did not. He said, Prophet, go make a walima. Right? SubhanAllah, this is how it should be. Don't get upset. Allah, people get it. People come up to you like, oh, this brother didn't tell you he was getting married. I said, I don't even care, SubhanAllah. That's your life, Allah Akbar. If I don't know and everything, mashallah, does it affect you, Allah Akbar? I'll make dua for you, mashallah. But I don't, it's your life. Do what you want, Allah Akbar. Sometimes you forget, right? It's a lot of things you have to think about, nikah. Do you think about it, right? There's a lot of family members you guys have. Sometimes it happens where you forget one. Can you just give people a benefit of the doubt excuse? Can we not do that? Allah Akbar. So the thing is that Allah, look, there are none of these things. I advise parents, okay? There are two things that we do which are very difficult. Number one, we delay it because of these ceremonies. Number two is this mahar conversation. Okay, I'll mention it inshallah very briefly. This ceremony thing, okay? This is my suggestion to everyone. Perform a small, low-key nikah. Very easy nikah. You've seen how nikah has been performed. In this masjid, I performed probably close to like 50 or 60 of them by now. You've seen how easy it is. It takes two witnesses, just a person to talk about in the middle. Just say, do you propose to so-and-so? Do you accept, right? Nikah is very simple, mashallah. Perform that sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make it halal between them. Make it halal between them. That way, if they do sit up on stage and stuff, at least it's halal for them to sit next to each other. Does that make sense? And then thereafter, if you want to do a nice function and everything like that, then do your bigger function to make everyone know. But at least, alhamdulillah, perform a small little thing. Once the proposal is done, everything is ready. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said three things are not delayed. Salah, janazah, and the nikah of a girl when it is ready. Because I cannot tell you how many times in this community, outside of this community, the nikahs were destroyed because what? Because they waited for too long. You and I know better, you know better examples than I do myself about how hard it is. You cannot delay in this matter because shaitan absolutely hates nikah. Because when you open the door nikah, shaitan's appetite towards zina is completely closed. So inshallah, please make sure your ceremonies, whatever you do is after. Just perform the small little thing, inshallah. Second thing is mahar, okay? Now the mahar that I recommend is what? Is the mahar Fatimi, right? Look at Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's very shy. He had a conversation at home. One of the slave women at home, the servants at home said, yeah, Ali, Fatima was being proposed to. And then he says, okay, that's nice. And then she said, don't you want to marry her? And Ali radiallahu anhu said that I don't have anything. He said, don't worry about it, go. And she kept pushing and insisting, go marry Fatima, right? And then so Ali radiallahu anhu, he goes to the Prophet's house and he sits behind in front of him and he sits very, very shy, right? He sits in front of him. The Prophet says, do you have something to say, Ali? And he says, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He says, then go ahead and say it. And then he can't get the words through his mouth. He's very embarrassed, very shy, right? Anastahi, right? And then so the Prophet says, do you want to marry Fatima? Right? The Prophet can tell, mashallah, that's what I was telling you. The nikahs are very simple. We would have waited a decade. Right, we wouldn't let this go until he says it from his mouth. The Prophet said, do you want to marry Fatima? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I do. But I don't have any funds. I don't have any money. The Prophet said, look at this. Everything we talked about, right? We would have delayed. We would have delayed because no finance. The Prophet said, don't you have an armor that I gave you? He said, yes, I do have that armor. And then what is it? It's worth like 400 something dirhams, right? The mahar Fatimi. The Prophet said, go and sell it. And then bring the money and that can be for Fatima. That's it. Allahu Akbar, right? SubhanAllah. Fatima was 15 years old. The other one's just a couple years older. There's so much that we can learn from this. Okay, subhanAllah. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he is taking invitation, he's taking a khitbah for Salman al-Farisi. Salman says, I want to marry one of these girls in the community. Abu Darda, you go and propose for me. So Abu Darda walks in and he meets the family and he says, Alhamdulillah, Salman, one of the first people to accept Islam very early on, mashallah. Wonderful person, great guy, talks up his boy, really big, mashallah. Real 10 out of 10 impersonated Salman radiallahu anhu, amazing guy. And he wants to marry one of your girls. And they said, no, we don't want to marry Salman. But we like you, Abu Darda. You can marry her. So Abu Darda says, okay. So then the nikah is performed right there. And then Abu Darda goes back to Salman and he's embarrassed. He says, Salman, I'm sorry. I feel embarrassed to mention something before you. Salman says, say what it is. He said, this is what happened. It's what it led to. And they married me to the girl instead of you. I feel very embarrassed to tell you it. Salman, subhanAllah, you and I would have cut this man out of our life. Salman radiallahu anhu says very beautifully, he says, no, I am embarrassed. What are you talking about, your embarrassment? I proposed to your future wife. I feel bad about that. These are amazing people, subhanAllah. When it comes to mahar, subhanAllah, please, try to choose something which is reasonable. My final thing, inshallah. So when it comes to mahar, inshallah, choose something. If you're not going to do mahar Fatimi, which I suggest, Because why? Because the rest of the life, the husband is going to provide for the wife anyways. Trust me, you think mahar ends at mahar? It doesn't end at mahar. Now everything else that she wants, you have to be a man and we have to provide for. It's going to happen. But look, if you're going to give a mahar, which is a little high, make it reasonable that the guy will actually pay. Okay? Sometimes we just put it on paper and then, mafkijiya, please forgive. Please forgive, Laila. Please forgive. What do you please forgive? This is our haq, subhanAllah. If it is, mashallah, a good amount, 5,000, 10,000, whatever, make sure you pay it, subhanAllah. And remember that this is a gift from you to her. Don't think of it as a burden, as a punishment, as a crime. Allah ta'ala give me saza. No, no, no. It's Allah ta'ala giving you, give a gift, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah grant us all tawfiq, inshallah. Please, inshallah, take these considerations. There's a bit more we can mention, inshallah. I hope we can do a little part two because we got to get into the nikah now. But please, inshallah, consider these things. Hey, look, as parents, inshallah, you are responsible for your children. If they commit zina under your watch, Allah ta'ala will ask you. So please, inshallah, make, be serious about it. Have a conversation and be real with it. And do things according to Sunnah Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If nikah is easy again, zina will be difficult. But the longer we make nikah, the longer the talaq process goes as well. May Allah grant us afiyah and tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.